and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Heat alerts are up with feels-like temperatures expected to surpass 100 over the next few days. CBS meteorologist Nikki Nolan.
Everywhere from the South Dakota, central U.S., basically, all the way down into the southeast, especially even down to Florida, Miami, and the Florida Keys.
Tributes pouring in after the death of the Cosby Show's Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Oh, Suzanne. Oh. I didn't know you were still here.
Officials in Costa Rica say Warner, who played Cosby's son Theo, drowned when he was pulled under the water by a rip current. He was 54. Best wishes for a British royal. CBS's Vicky Barker from London.
Kensington Palace has released a new photograph of Prince George to mark his 12th birthday, wearing a cotton shirt and dark green unzipped woolen vest. The future King of England is smiling into the camera.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. An 82-year-old man has died after a crash between a UTV and a dump truck in Portage County on Monday morning. It happened around 8:44 a.m. near the intersection of County Trunk Highway ZZ and Rainbow's End Road in the township of New Hope. The 82-year-old man from the town of Lanark was the operator of the UTV and died as a result of injuries he sustained during the crash. No other injuries were reported. The crash is under investigation. The Wisconsin State Patrol is sharing safety tips with residents for sharing the road with large trucks and buses as their law of the month in July. Lisa Hale reports.
The Wisconsin State Patrol is sharing safety tips with residents for sharing the road with large trucks and buses as their law of the month for July. According to a press release, drivers should avoid lingering in the blind spots of large trucks or buses. Follow them at a safe distance, watch for turn signals, and pass them cautiously. Drivers should also give trucks and buses the right-of-way when entering a roundabout, as the larger vehicles need extra space for turns. The Wisconsin State Patrol is reminding all drivers that safety on the road is a shared responsibility.
The Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health detailed the connections between extracurricular activities and youth mental health in its most recent fact sheet, finding that kids who participate in extracurriculars, such as lessons, sports, after-school clubs, or community service, tend to have better mental health. Regardless of where the activity takes place, extracurriculars are known to help kids create strong bonds with their peers, develop conflict resolution skills, and be more engaged with school. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Miz takes on the Mariners. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight in Seattle, where the Brewers rookie Jacob Mizorowski faces the Mariners. The Crew winning last night 6-0. Brandon Woodruff went 6 innings on just 62 pitches, allowing only 2 hits in the shutout. Milwaukee now with an 11-game winning streak. NFL, the Packers sign right tackle Zach Tom to a 4-year deal worth $88 million, over $30 million in a signing bonus, the largest ever for an NFL offensive lineman. What makes Zach Tom so special?
I think he can play any position. He kind of found his home at right tackle. I think his versatility is one of the things that makes him special. I think he can play all five, and there's not a lot of guys that can do that. I would say that he's got the athleticism. I think he's a very intelligent football player, and he's played pretty consistent over the course of the last few years.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It is going to be warm and muggy here the next couple of days. Partly cloudy today, 86 with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, thunderstorms likely with a low dropping to 73. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, scattered thunderstorms. It's going to be muggy with a heat index approaching 100 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 63.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Kristen Dossler-Alfheim. We talk biennial budget, the uncertainty over Governor Evers' second run, and how progressives and Democrats move forward in unity here in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, July 22nd. Parker Olson produces this fine program down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be joining us from the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh in just a sec. And then later this hour, we will talk about ways that some groups in Wisconsin are holding politicians accountable. They may be about to go on their August recess, but that doesn't mean they won't still be held accountable for supporting a big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill in D.C. that's going to cause harm to a lot of folks in Wisconsin. We'll talk about those efforts and a successful effort to set a world record by some folks up north who want to call attention to a potentially dangerous oil and gas pipeline that's running through parts of northern Wisconsin. So that and much more still ahead. But first, let's head out to the EAA Air Venture, where meteorologist Brittany Merlot has positioned herself to have the aura of a rising sun right behind her to tell us what's happening. And she camps out at Air Venture in Oshkosh. Ms. Merlot, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. As you can see, the sun is shining here. It is so bright this morning. I'm trying to block it out of the way, but can't really get around it between the sounds of the Oshkosh and then the sun. It is a beautiful morning. But I will say, when the sun comes up, every camper wakes up, right? You can't beat the sun. It wakes you up wide awake. Now, there's a lot of clouds, though, all across the state. 57 degrees right now into Green Bay, 73 into La Crosse. We are going to heat things up, and the humidity is going to start to seep in as this warm front nears us today. So we are climbing to the mid-80s statewide to near 90 degrees far west. Those muggy, humid conditions are already moving in. Dew points are going to hit the low 70s today, and then by tomorrow morning, we are looking at some showers and storms definitely rolling through the area. Looks like they start around 5 a.m. Waves of them move through the state. Another one again in the evening and into the night, and that active pattern continues as that front sets up over northern Wisconsin and then drags itself through the rest of the state into Thursday. So as this moves in and continues to push this hot, humid air in, we're going to hit the mid-90s down south tomorrow. But then, of course, that rain going on up north, maybe some 70s up there. But it is going to be sticky. It is going to be feeling like triple digits with the heat index. And I am nervous with my tent. I'm not going to lie. I've got a little fan. It is solar powered, and that is all I have. I have no AC anywhere.
Ooh, well, you, I mean, you're doing the whole roughing it thing here. To see all that's going on at Air Venture, tell us some of the stuff you got to see yesterday that you enjoyed.
The blimp, the Goodyear blimp, there's multiple of them. I thought it was just going to be one. No, there was three of them here. They were massive. It was cool to see them take off at like a 45-degree angle. I can't imagine being in there. It looked so much fun. There is just a bunch of planes everywhere, lots of people everywhere. It's hard to remember everything that happened yesterday because there's so many exhibits, speeches, things going on here that you can go and see. I would honestly say it's just making new friends. I've talked to a lot of volunteers here. I talked to the staff, security staff, to see what was going on and how they kind of run the event. And what do they do when severe weather happens? How do you get them out of here? What do they do? How much boarding do they have? So I was kind of digging into some of that kind of stuff. But overall, having fun.
Good. Do you measure steps? Do you know how many steps you put on yesterday?
Everybody was doing that yesterday. That's so funny. They were saying between 15 to 20,000 steps. I forgot to register mine. So I'll do it today. I'll let you know tomorrow.
That's okay. You know what? I'll take it on faith that you did 15,000 steps yesterday.
Yeah, feels like it.
I am absolutely sure you did. And I think it's great that you're asking these questions about, you know, what happens if stormy weather happens out there. Obviously, it's happened. And, you know, folks are going to be looking at you and going,
I know.
Is it here yet? Is it coming yet? As if you carry around a radar, you know, on your wristwatch all the time or something like that.
But wristwatch, I wish I had it on the wristwatch. That would be great.
I know.
The pocket.
But you mentioned that folks from NOAA and the National Weather Service are there as well. So, I mean, they are definitely covered in terms of, you know, knowing what the weather's going to be like when it comes in. Have you heard much chatter yet about the near miss in North Dakota between the B-52 bomber and the commercial jet that was trying to land in Minot? Has that been a topic of conversation around there?
Ooh, not just yet. I'm sure that sounds like it's going to be a topic today, though.
I'm sure it will in terms of, who's got radar and who talks to who out there. So just so much to see and do around the Oshkosh area. So, Brittany, go enjoy it all. Are we talking to you tomorrow?
Yes, you are.
Depending on the weather, I suppose.
True.
And your comfort level. All right. Well, enjoy and we'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Brittany. Hey, by the way, a reminder that if you miss any of our shows last hour or something, you know, yesterday or last week, and you want to catch up on it, you can head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, where every hour's program of this show and all the others are listed, you know, hour by hour, and you can go back and listen, or you can subscribe as a podcast to catch us as well. You just have to head over to Spotify or Apple and get yourself subscribed to this program, all the others, and you will never miss a thing again. Let's check the mailbag here from Rob in Tigerton. Good morning. Hazy sunshine, 59 degrees yesterday with lawn mowing jobs in Wittenberg. He had spaghetti for lunch at Brianna's in Wittenberg. It was very busy. Most folks heading to the EAA. Today he's got lawn mowing jobs in Tigerton, getting them done before the heat, the humidity, and the storms come in. We played Super Tramp in our last segment. And said, maybe there'll be a weather theme. Maybe tomorrow we'll play Super Tramps, It's Raining Again, a song that they had back in 1982. So we thank Rob for writing in. And a reminder that you all can do the same thing here by getting on Facebook or YouTube, jumping into the comments section like Roger did in Stevens Point to talk about how the Miz is on the hill tonight. That, of course, would be Jacob Mizorowski pitching for your first place Milwaukee Brewers. Yeah, I said first place Milwaukee Brewers. They were winners against the Seattle Mariners yesterday. Final score was 6-0. In fact, while Brandon Woodruff went 6 strong innings, only gave up 2 singles, walked nobody, the fact of the matter was Seattle's George Kirby had carried a no-hitter into the 6th inning. But then the Brewers were able to bust things open. They tagged him for 4 runs after sending 8 men to the plate in the 6th, and 6-0 was the final there. The Brewers now have won 11 in a row, 60 of their first 100 games. That's the first time in team history. And as we mentioned last hour, they're doing it with a different roster than the one that won the division last year. I mean, no Willie Adames, no Corbin Burns, no Devin Williams. But they're still getting things done, and Jacob Mizorowski, one of those new faces, will be the pitcher tonight. Pregame begins at 8:05 on several Civic Media stations. Then they will play. They'll wrap up the series in Seattle tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow's pregame will start at 2:05 in the afternoon. They are off on Thursday, and then they come home for a weekend series against the Florida Marlins, and then, of course, that really big series starting next Monday at home against the Chicago Cubs, because with yesterday's win, the Brewers moved into first place. They're holding it down on their own for the first time since early to mid-April, and so that Cubs series next week is just going to loom so much larger as we really start to head into the, final third of the season. Happening before long. Across the Civic Media Radio Network today, Jane Matinair has Matinair on Air along with Greg Bach coming up from 9 to 11 following our festivities here. Todd Albo will be joining Jane and Greg at 9:30. And then on Todd's show, Todd Albo's show from 2 to 4, you'll have Surjita Patra of Wisconsin Watch talking about increasing suicide rates among senior Wisconsinites. Then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 will have Angela Lang from Block in Milwaukee just after 4 o'clock and State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim just after 5 o'clock. Again, all of that coming up here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where there aren't just programs here. There are also podcasts, and that would include one called Wisconsin Forward with Matt Rothschild. It's a weekly dive into a topic surrounding a current political problem in the state, a little background on how we got to where we are today and what some folks are working on now, possible ways forward. It's a uniquely Wisconsin take on the big issues that are preventing progress and the people with ideas to move forward. You can subscribe and download Wisconsin Forward on Spotify, Apple, or on the Civic Media website as well. Every Tuesday or so, we try to give you an idea of what some of the most popular stories are over on our social media sites. If you search for Up North News or Up North News WI on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you can see all the work that the rest of my team is doing throughout the course of the day. And I can tell you, looking at some information that Sherita Booker, our social media manager, shared with us, a preview of the EAA Air Venture was among the top three stories on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter late last week, in part because of the economic impact. You see, the last time anyone tried to measure the economic impact of that week-long fly-in, it came to about $170 million. But that study was done several years ago, and a new report is out and updates that figure. It is now a $257 million boost to the local economy. Actually, the regional economy, when you consider how far away you have to go to get a hotel room or camping space when you have more than 500,000 folks coming to town for the event. Over on Facebook, our most viewed story was about Pewaukee's future NFL Hall of Famer J.J. Watt. He recently stopped by a Badger football practice in Madison and also had some thoughts on little brother T.J. Watt's new contract extension. That'll pay T.J. over 3 years what J.J. made in more than a decade in the NFL. On Instagram, far and away the post that was most viewed, most shared, and most commented on dealt with the Trump administration trying to withhold nearly $7 billion from Wisconsin school kids and State Attorney General Josh Call's lawsuit to get those cuts restored. It's one of about two dozen lawsuits that Call and other attorneys general have filed as courts continue reminding President Trump that he's not a dictator, not yet anyway, and still has to follow the law, at least sometimes, when it comes to providing the funds that Congress had already approved earlier. And over on TikTok, our top post dealt with homelessness in rural Wisconsin. It is very much a growing problem, and rural communities, of course, are already facing tough budgets when it comes to helping people who are just trying to keep a roof over their heads. But while Governor Tony Evers proposed solutions, Republicans in the legislature, a great many of them from rural districts, removed any increase in state help before passing the new state budget. And as always, you can read up about all of our latest posts on your favorite social media channel, plus our newsletter, plus our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And in terms of, you know, Governor Evers and his state budget, of course, we're now waiting on him to tell us whether he'll be running for re-election. Will he run for a third term next year or not? We will be talking in just over an hour from the recombobulation area. That would be Dan Schaefer, because it's a quiet time in Wisconsin politics right now. I know I've tried booking some legislators as guests. We're going to have a couple coming on this week to talk about a bill that would help regulate cryptocurrency in Wisconsin, make sure that there aren't scams that can rip people off, especially when you see these ATM-looking things that let you deal in cryptocurrency, making sure that they really are worth something if you're going to try to do business here in Wisconsin. So we'll have State Senator Kelda Royce and State Representative Ryan Spouty on Thursday morning to talk about that. But otherwise, things are a little quiet out there in politics land. We'll talk to Dan Schaefer about that in an hour. A local update is next for some of you. Others will visit with Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 and Rhinelander. Live from the heart of America's up north here on Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 21st, 2025. I have your host, James J. Maloff here. We're joined today by our great friend from the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. We have Reverend Beth Hebhager with us.
Hello.
Hey, Beth, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I am doing good. It's always good working with you, talking with you. Nice work with the kitchens open earlier this morning. Nicely done. Beth, before we get ahead to future events, let's rewind a little bit, just wrapping up the fourth. And you guys had a lot of fun with the broad fry.
We did, and we had so many people come through, and we want to thank the public for supporting us in that way. It was great to greet everybody, and some of the local businesses helped us by donating the ice that we used to keep all of our beverages cool, so we want to send a shout out to them and thank them for their support for that. We raised over $800 in that day, and so we are grateful to be able to do something like that.
That's incredible, especially considering, and you know this even better than I do, when it comes to having an event, you really, the overhead cost is such a key part of that, doing the event, and sometimes can have a great event not even happen because of those things. But you've been able to do this in a short amount of time, really, be able to have this consistent thing that you can kind of go to every fourth, and it's really cool, to see. That's money, that is $800 that wouldn't be there otherwise.
Exactly. And we really appreciate it. It allows us to continue to offer different things like the book sale and other events that we have at the church and to be able to be there for the community. We have a great reciprocal relationship with the ADRC. They use our basement during tax season while they're offering their tax services. The exercise group that's usually in that space comes on over to our church and uses our fellowship hall, our basement, for their exercise space. So we are glad to be available and to support our community in that way.
And you guys are not done with brats.
We are not.
No, no. We got another one coming up.
We do. On August 2nd, we are doing something very uniquely Wisconsin. We are having a brat fry and a rummage sale all at the same time, all in the same place. So you can come and there will be some clothes, some toys. We have Christmas decorations that have been donated. We also had some donations from a local business that closed that weren't able to get rid of everything. And they donated some to us so that we have the opportunity to possibly sell that on into the public and raise funds that way. And we're going to have our brat fry. And this year we offered walking tacos and that went over very well. So we're going to be doing walking tacos with our brats and our hamburgers and cheeseburgers. And you can get a meal that includes a beverage and chips as well. There'll be plenty of baked goods done by good church ladies. And you know, good church ladies know how to make great baked goods. So.
They're the greatest baked goods you'll ever have. Yes. Your mom and church ladies.
There you go.
These are the ones that make the greatest.
Anything made with love.
Yes. Really good stuff there. And as good as a brat is in the summer, and man, does it taste good. It's never going to taste better than when you're getting one from a nonprofit, when you're getting one that goes to a good cause. They just have a better taste to them. Somehow, a brat can taste even better that way.
Yeah.
And we do want to just note with this, and I would say that most events we're talking about with the Moravian Church, if you are interested in volunteering, we are always anxious to hear from people. We don't always need people, but always appreciate people reaching out.
And we rely upon our congregation and anybody who would be willing to donate some of the supplies so that we don't have that overhead. And what we make in that day just becomes a profit for us to be able to use to do our ministry. So we've got a donation list at the church. If you're willing to participate, give us a call, 715-423-0180. That's the church line. You can find us online as well. The email address is available at our website, wrmoravian.org. So feel free to check us out. Let us know if you're willing to help, what kind of things maybe we could do to help support our community as well.
It's such a great event, a rummage sale and a brat fry together. You just need some cheese curds. You got the perfect Wisconsin event.
If somebody wants to donate, then we'll figure out what we can do.
There we go. Get a hold of Beth, everybody. Get a hold of her.
And that's going to start at 9 a.m. and go till about 2 p.m. So it's about the same hours as what the farmers market First Avenue, and we're right there by it. So you can park at the ADRC or right across on Goggins Street on Third Avenue South. And when you're walking towards the farmers market, walk right past us.
Get that brat. It'll give you plenty of fuel to go through the farmers market and enjoy yourself and have a great start to your Saturday. Again, that'll be August 2nd going on. And we'll touch on this more and more on our morning show and stuff and make sure we get a great turnout for that one.
And if you're going to the farmers market for the egg rolls for lunch, then stop by and grab dinner and take it home with you, and then you've got both meals covered for that day.
Yeah, you're set. You're welcome, everybody. Yeah, you're set. Nicely done. And nicely done by
you,
Beth. I do want to mention as well, and something that we talk about on our morning show is the book bin. That's been out for a little while. Is that still out?
It is still out. It goes out all summer. It comes out on Memorial Day weekend, and we're not going to take it in until about September 15th. So we are still collecting plenty of books. We've still got plenty of room. So if you are cleaning out your house and looking for a place to give those books a second life and someone else a chance to escape into a good story like you did, donate them to the community book sale. The bin is out Monday through Friday, or Monday through Sunday, 24/7. It's out in front of our church building in our parking lot by the glass doors off of Goggins Street. Or if we happen to be in the office and our business hours are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., bring them into the building. We'll give you a cart if you've got boxes and boxes. We can help you make sure that they get in, they get sorted and ready for our book sale in the fall. We'll also take any media that you have, DVDs, VHS, cassettes. We've also have people that still listen to cassettes. We love LPs. We've got lots of people that like to find the record, the vinyl. So if you've got others that you're looking to get rid of, we'll take puzzles and games that you have all the pieces for. We're really interested in getting large print books so that those who are looking for that and need the larger print have that option as well. We want to make it available for everybody.
Yeah. Those books, there's few things that feel better to donate than a book.
Mm-hmm.
And it means something. I cannot encourage people to do this enough. I know how much my mom looks forward to being able to donate these books and things right. like that. She takes very good care of them.
Good.
I think she takes more better care of those than she does her own books in some ways.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Not 100%.
And we love the fact that the books that we don't sell at the end of that book sale, we intentionally try to find places for them to go so that they're not just being recycled and not used. So we are in relationship. We take some of the goodwill so that they have a chance to sell them as well and support their nonprofit. We also love
listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Well, despite the uncertainty with tariffs in the forecast and not knowing what Mother Nature is going to do, still, farmland values remain strong. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news influencing our markets. Yeah, that's right. The demand for farmland continues to be robust across the United States. That's the word from Paul Schottig. He's the Senior Vice President of Real Estate with Farmers National Company. And he says the bottom line is the people that are buying farmland are the people that want to use that farmland.
They are the ones that are a little more aggressive. There's been there's a lot of those guys that have been through the tough times in the 70s and 80s, and they learned a lesson. They said, I've got to deploy my cash in smarter ways. And so there's a lot of those producers out there that have made great decisions, and their pocket might still have some cash in it. And so when the farm next door comes up for sale or when they want to expand their operation, they can do that.
That's Paul Schottig. He's the Senior Vice President of Real Estate with Farmers National Company. He says really they're noticing farmland values remain robust everywhere, with particular strength in the I-states, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. We'll get you up to speed on where the markets stand on a Tuesday morning next.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Not much movement yesterday in the dairy complex. Barrel and block cheese both were unchanged. The AA butter on Monday dropped a penny and a quarter to $2.50 a pound. Little softer start this morning as far as our commodities are concerned. Right now we've got September corn down a penny, December new crop down a penny and a half at $4.21. August soybeans are down $3. November new crop unchanged at $10.26 and a half. The wheat for September is down $4 at $5.38. December down $4, $5.59. August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's down 6 this morning at $17.57. September's unchanged at $18.09 a hundredweight. I'm PM Yonke.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be warm and muggy here the next couple of days. Partly cloudy today, 86 with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, thunderstorms likely with a low dropping to 73. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, scattered thunderstorms. It's going to be muggy with a heat index approaching 100 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 63.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our road companion from last week and our friend and colleague here at Civic Media, Todd Alba, will be here to break down all the news. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Remember to stay up to date on our unabashedly Wisconsin news. Sign up for our newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage. That includes our weekend newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where there is a question of the week that we like to share. And this time around, it's about candidate for governor Bill Berrien already dropping $400,000 in advertising to build up his name ID. Because nobody knows Bill Berrien outside of his friends and family and his Christmas card list. So he's got to advertise, even though it's more than a year before the primary for governor, and without even knowing if Governor Tony Evers is running or not. So our question of the week asks what you think of that. Is it a case of A, you hate it? In fact, you hate it so much you might even hold it against him for running ads this early. What about option B, where it's I don't like it, but I get it? You know, you gotta spend some money to get your name ID out there. And we gave you an option C, you like it. You actually like that a candidate shows some initiative and wants to talk to voters right away. Well, Joe H. probably sums it up best. She didn't just put A. She put like a string of them, like A, with an angry emoji face after that. And Mary writes, I hate it, in all caps. And then she writes, sorry for the all caps. Wishing there was a time limit as to when campaigns run, including all ads and mailings and social media. Mary, how great would that be if we could just have everything limited to a very brief time frame to get all the information out there, but not have it last for a year or 4 years or whatever. Linda Z went with option B, saying, I don't like it, but I get it. And she, too, writes, I still think all campaigns should be limited to 6 months prior to voting day. You know, that might actually make for a good follow-up question of the week is, you know, if you could limit campaigns and say, you know, they're going to be announced here and the deadlines are here, the election day is here, how much should they be? Because, you know, at some point, if an election campaign is too short, you're not going to be a very well-informed voter. You may not learn everything about a candidate until after they've taken office. We already know campaigns can be too long. I'm just saying that they can be too short as well. So Goldilocks, what's just right? Is it 2 months? Is it 6 months? Something like that. Again, I don't know that we could necessarily pull it off, but if you could, you and your magic wand, what would it be? You can always send us a note here. Radio at upnorthnewswi.com is the email address. Radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Let's do a follow-up for something we talked about in May, and it's all about the Enbridge Line 5 oil and gas pipeline that is slated to be rerouted around the Bad River tribal community, but still running through the Bad River watershed where it could pose a danger to Lake Superior. And back in May, we heard from Jadine Sonoda of the Sierra Club for Wisconsin and a project where they were trying to break the world record for the most origami fish collected and displayed. Why collect origami fish and have them displayed? As a way to show public opposition to Line 5, not just the reroute, but to the line existing entirely. And it seemed rather ambitious. They were going to have to collect more than 18,303 origami fish, but they put up a website, fishforfuture.org. And so here's a little bit of what Jadine Zanota told us back on May 5th about the project, about the origami fish, about standing up to the Enbridge Line 5 project. And I started by asking her about the Sierra Club here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so the Wisconsin chapter, as you said, is part of the broader organization of Sierra Club, which operates across the nation. We focus a lot on statewide issues. So we've got members and volunteers really across the whole state working on a variety of issues, also focusing on local issues in particular areas. But yeah, we're really looking at climate, conservation, and how all of these pieces intertwine with environmental justice. And so today I'm here to talk a little bit about one of our campaigns focused on Line 5.
And that Line 5, for folks that don't know the full background on it, it is a pipeline that has existed for decades. It's getting near the end of its natural lifespan. And there's certainly been dispute from the Bad River community, and to the point where Enbridge is looking to reroute the line around the reservation community there. But even rerouting that line, Jadine, would not take it out of the potential to do immense harm to the Bad River, and then, you know, flowing right into Lake Superior, not that far away.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some incredible maps that look at the route that Enbridge, the pipeline company, is proposing to construct in, and just the number of waterways that it cuts across. It's really scary to think about. We've seen the impacts of Enbridge's construction, for example, with Line 3 in Minnesota a couple years ago, and just the devastation of punctured aquifers and frack outs of drilling fluid. So there's a lot of worry that this construction and continued operation of the pipeline would result in damages both to the waterways and to especially the sloughs in the area and Lake Superior.
And so wherever that line ends up going, it could be a potential threat. We've certainly seen it spill in other places like Michigan. Enbridge had a major spill there. And so let's get into the project that is designed to demonstrate public opposition to, you know, that potential for an environmental disaster. What is the world record that you're trying to set, and how are you going about doing it?
Good question. So we're really looking for something fun and a way to talk about this that's positive and uplifting. And we were thinking, what better way than to try and set a world record? We are going to be attempting to break the world record for our largest collection of origami fish. The record is currently 18,303. We are working our way up towards that number. But the intention here is to really find a way to talk about Line 5 and especially the importance of protecting the Great Lakes. While we're doing a fun activity, a way to like get people engaged from all age spans, from places that might not be interested in just like hearing about Line 5, but think an art project is really cool. It's been amazing. I feel like people have been really excited about it. And kind of like I had mentioned before, we've got a lot of new people who are learning about the importance of protecting the Great Lakes and how Line 5 threatens the Great Lakes. We've got a lot of schools who are participating. I've heard of someone who is bringing this to a nursing home that they work in. We've got a lot of faith communities who are participating. Just in general, I feel like it's been a really great opportunity to reach more people and find something that is really exciting and a way to uplift the positive pieces of protecting the water and the watersheds and the areas that we all live in.
So that was Jadine Zanota back on May 5th talking to us about the Sierra Club role in collecting the origami fish. So here's the update, as we got from Megan Whitman out at the Sierra Club. Again, the number that they had to break for collecting fish was 18,303. The final total they've collected, 86,262. I mean, they smashed the world record. What is that? That's like five times the amount that they were seeking to get, which again, they believe demonstrates tremendous opposition to the project. They said they received fish from all 50 states, plus Puerto Rico, Canada, Mexico, and the Netherlands. Fish were made by more than 70 groups across the Great Lakes region, including religious organizations, schools, scouting groups, climate action organizations, and more. So a successful effort to get a world record and call attention to a big environmental priority here up north. Also taking place recently was a program put on by the group Opportunity Wisconsin to highlight Donald Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill and all of the cuts that are coming to regular middle-class Wisconsin families to help pay for tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. And Opportunity Wisconsin paired up with an ice cream parlor in Eau Claire to start a food drive to call attention to the cuts to nutrition programs. Now, that's because Sunday was National Ice Cream Day, and the owner of Ramon's Ice Cream Parlor in Eau Claire was part of a food drive that is going to help a local charity, the Community Table, and call attention to the cuts in food benefits being supported by their congressman, Derek Van Orden. So through the end of the month, anyone who brings in a non-perishable food item to Ramon's in Eau Claire is going to get a certificate for a free cone or dish. The folks at Opportunity Wisconsin noted that the Trump mega bill is going to cut food assistance for tens of thousands of Wisconsinites to pay for those tax breaks. Blaine Midtune, the owner of Ramon's, has done all kinds of cones for a cause efforts, raising more than $300,000 over the years for various concerns. And he is understandably perplexed at how it's become a partisan thing, whether to give tax cuts to the rich or feed the poor.
Really, above everything, this should be a nonpartisan type issue at our local level, right here in the Chip Valley, right here in Eau Claire. Political parties have been founded on the belief that small government, but then when small government is in place, that it is up to local community, it's up to the churches, the spiritual institutions, it's up to our neighbors, it's up to our local officials, and it's up to each and every single one of us. So when things are good, we have that opportunity to spread money around, invest in ourselves, invest in our children, that kind of thing. But then we also have that opportunity to give back on a local level as well. And that's where those dollars are really important. That's where the community giving is really important. And that's something that we've really kind of strived for with Ramon's in the last 9 years since we opened in 2017, as we have a program called Cash for Cause. And in the 9 years that we've been open, we've raised and we've given back over $300,000 to local organizations and nonprofit institutions, just like the Community Table, many, many times over with the Community Table and other organizations here in the Chippewa Valley that are helping residents right here in Eau Claire, because there are shortcomings.
That's Blaine Midtune, again, the owner of Ramon's. And the food drive, like I said, will benefit the Community Table. Executive Director TJ Atkins says about half the people they serve at the Community Table are currently unhoused, a stat that really jumped post-COVID. And from Opportunity Wisconsin, here's Ethan Reed, who talks about how really what Van Orden and Brian Stile are doing amounts to a double whammy, not just the cuts in nutrition programs, but the increase in food prices from things like Donald Trump's trade war tariffs.
Just weeks ago, Congressman Derek Van Orden voted for the Republican tax law that cuts food assistance for Wisconsinites to pay for billionaire and corporate tax breaks. State officials have warned that as many as 90,000 Wisconsinites could lose SNAP benefits because of this law. At the same time, news reports show that tariffs are increasing the cost of food and other goods like the aluminum, like the aluminum you see behind us, making it even harder for families to put food on the table. This is a double burden no family should have to bear. No family should have to worry about where their next meal is coming from or how they'll afford groceries, yet that is the current reality for too many Wisconsinites. Instead of alleviating this crisis, Congressman Derek Van Orden and Republicans in Congress are taking food from their constituents and raising prices to give more tax breaks to the wealthy.
And so Opportunity Wisconsin is, again, bringing up the tariffs as well. And he said the aluminum behind me, what he meant was all those canned goods. They're in aluminum cans. And so for everybody, whether their nutrition programs are being cut or not, they're going to face higher costs. All because of the tariffs that the Trump administration has put into place. All right, a local break is coming up next for some of you, and for others, we continue with our new regional segment, Way Up North, where we're going to talk to folks who live up in the Bayfield, Ashland, Superior areas about issues that are important in far northwest Wisconsin. All that just ahead here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink, but there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710 and I can build the perfect package for your business.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. For this July 14th, 2025, have your host, James, with you. We're joined right now by a couple of our favorite people. We have Sally Kistner with us and Eric Brittenacher. Good to see you, too.
Hi. Good to see you.
We're talking with our Arts Council of Southwood County right now. We're welcoming in on the phone lines here the members of the Yacht Rock Gold Experience. We've got Joe and Amadeo with us. I will let you guys introduce yourselves so the audience can put a voice to the name. Joe, you can start.
This is Joe Burak. I'm the leader and drummer of the Yacht Rock Gold Experience.
And this is Amadeo Simonisi, and I'm the bassist for Yacht Rock Gold Experience.
I see everybody in radio. If you're not confident to say somebody's name, that's one of the ways you handle it. No. In all seriousness, we love to want the audience to be able to put a voice to the name and everything. Joe, Amadeo, thank you so much for joining us. Eric and Sally, I'll get to you guys in just a moment, but I'm really excited to talk with these guys. If you don't mind, before we get going too deep into the band and what the experience will be, can you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves? Joe, where are you from?
I originally born in Brooklyn, New York, and raised in New Jersey, right next door. Alumni of the Berklee College of Music in Boston, and now touring the United States with the Yacht Rock Gold Experience.
Right on, right on. That's awesome, Joe. Thank you. And I have to, the accent, it did show a little bit. It does show a little bit there. But. Amadeo, how about you?
Yeah, I was raised in Rutherford, New Jersey, and I reside in Nutley, New Jersey. And, you know, I went to college at Montclair State. At that time, it was called Montclair State College, now Montclair State University, for music education. And I taught in the New Jersey public schools for 37 years, recently retired, but I've been playing all that time and had the great opportunity to meet up with Joe. It was kind of a happenstance thing, and we've been connected for what, 10 years, Joe?
Oh, so? probably longer, but don't forget to mention that you toured with Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes as well as many other groups.
Of course, yeah. I mean, as a freelancer, just always working that way, and I did play with Southside Johnny for a little while for sure. That was a lot of fun.
Guys, I imagine, like a lot of the musicians we get a chance to talk to, you have plenty of music tastes and things that you like to listen to and play. What was it about yacht rock that made you want to play that this specific type of rock and roll?
You know, I think the entire band kind of grew up on that music. And a lot of the guys in the group are full-time musicians that play a lot of R&B, soul, and jazz music for many events through a group that we all belong to as well called Epic Soul. And as we saw the yacht rock music start to really swell up and become the big thing, we attended a few concerts of other groups, and we just saw the swell of people coming with their captain's hats on and this whole new kind of groovy thing that was starting to grow with this music that we all grew up on in the 70s, the Eagles, the Fleetwood Mac, the Steely Dan, the Doobie Brothers, all that kind of stuff. And we all said to ourselves, hey, you know, we could do this thing, you know. And I have, you know, all these incredible musicians that are music majors and music teachers and everything that play, on the side of their regular job. And we started to, you know, slowly put this thing together, and we added like four amazing vocalists that we knew. And before we knew it, there was just bookings like crazy for us all over the place. And the next thing we knew, we were touring nationally. It just kind of blew up. Really, they put a documentary out, and everything just kind of blew up. And you got these guys now. We just got back from three dates in Florida, and we're getting ready to hit the road again. After this interview. Oh, it's just been a whirlwind of excitement for us.
Can't get you on the road fast enough. When it comes to like the terminology of yacht rock, I think, Sally and Eric and I were talking a little bit about this in the pregame. I grew up on a lot of this music too, the Doobie Brothers, Steely Dan, and those are two of them. I love Steely Dan. I know every single song by them. I could go on a tangent on Steely Dan right now. But I never thought about them as a kid as yacht rock. I never thought there wasn't a terminology yacht rock. This is something that has kind of almost come up through a more of a pop culture thing. And it's kind of cool to see when these things happen. And we have all seen trends come back, fashions come back, different things. For this particular style of music to make this kind of push forward again is really unique and a lot of fun. I think it's great for younger audiences to discover some of this music while some of us are kind of getting to relive some of it.
Yeah, we lots of times we see in the audience some very young members, and it's really kind of cool to see that gap being bridged, because as musicians, we know that this music that is loosely defined as yacht rock, right, it is more complex in nature than it would appear to be. So as musicians, it's one of the things that attracted us to it. Because we didn't get a chance to play much of it growing up. We were playing the typical rock and roll stuff that everybody was listening to. So we jumped at the chance to do this because it allowed us to really sink our teeth in. And watching the younger audience members groove on this music is great.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about that until talking with you guys about this, but the bands that we're talking about, throw in Fleetwood Mac in that group, and Christopher Cross, Fleetwood Mac, Steely Dan, all these bands, these are not simple bands. bands with like simple band members with one pop hit or something like that. These are eclectic musicians that really know their stuff we're talking about here. And all these songs, you guys are doing the best of their stuff, the hits of their things. So by proxy, you guys are darn good. Like, and I've looked up your stuff. I've seen a bunch of it and everything. You do amazing jobs with these. Is there an honor along with a challenge to doing this, doing artists like that?
Well, we've been working with Elliot Laurie from Looking Glass, who you know, is, as they coined the phrase, yacht rock royalty. And I think what he said to us was that what he loved about us was that we keep true to the music. And I think what he meant by that was that we really work hard on trying to give the audience that version that everyone is used to hearing on the radio for that particular hit song. And there's all these, you know, iconic little lines in there that you have to get. You got, you know, these people that come to the shows know every word to every song. They know every little saxophone lick and every synthesizer string and every little thing that's supposed to be there. So when you really break it down, these very overproduced, you know, Steely Dan stuff and
you
all the Eagles stuff.
You're listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Scorching temperatures have descended on much of the country. CBS meteorologist Rob Marciano.
The heat dome, unfortunately, is going to stick around. It's going to be anchored right over the center of the country.
Feels like temps expected to top 100 from the Florida Keys to Kansas City. Martin Luther King Jr.'s family speaks out after the Trump administration released files on his 1968 assassination. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
King's two children released a statement saying the files should be viewed within their full historical context and condemned any attempts to misuse the information in ways intended to undermine our father's legacy.
Bill Cosby paying tribute to his TV son, Malcolm Jamal Warner, who drowned in Costa Rica.
Malcolm was always embracing relationships with everybody he worked with.
Cosby in a phone call with CBS's Jerika Duncan. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.